Okay, we are on Yud Amud Aleph at the bottom at the Mishnah. If you have your Mishnah Berurahs, so you can bring them out. If you want to open them up, hopefully we'll have an opportunity to take a look a little bit at Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah and Siman Ayin Dalet. So it's in Chelek Aleph, it's in the Chelek that we're using, but it's Ayin Dalet. So the Mishnah said, we said yesterday, Piris L'Sadim Necham Tachteh Bnei Anishar. A person spread a sadin. A sadin is a cloth, a blanket, something like that, a material. So he spread on it, meaning on his sukkah, a sadin. So that's on top of the schach in this case. Because of the sun. Why? What's going to happen? The sun is going to dry out his schach. And then it may shrink. It may not be enough shade. Or maybe it'll start falling down. And then there won't be enough shade. Or it'll just be annoying. So he wants to protect his schach from the sun. Underneath his schach, maybe he spreads it. It's a different case. He spreads out this cloth underneath the schach. Maybe not because the things that are falling down. The schach that's falling down. Or he spread this cloth on top of a bed that has these posts, so it's at least a tefach wide of space, of roof. And so he has a tent basically on top of his head in between him and the sukkah. Psula, all of those cases are no good. It's a little bit interesting that it says the word psula. I think we probably would have wanted the Mishnah to say he's not yotze. What do you mean, psula? He passled the sukkah? So if in the first two cases where the cloth is on the top of the schach, so then the schach is not under airspace, you know, there's something covering the schach. So then you could say the sukkah is passled. Or maybe when the sadin is underneath the schach, so what, the sukkah is passled? It's more of like his yeshiva and the sukkah is a problem, you know what I mean? So we saw in the Gemara earlier that made this distinction. That say, when you're speaking about the cheftzasa sukkah, the sukkah itself, so then you say, it's kasher's basel. But when you're talking about whether he fulfills a mitzvah or not, so what's the terminology? Yotze, or ain't no yotze. So that's remarkable. Right, Adam? It's remarkable. So it says psula.
What's the halakha?
Oh, you're here. Hi.
What's the halakha of the mission here? We learned from the first mission, so
what's happening? Would be yotze?
Yeah. There's more shade than some. What's the... I mean,
oh, lots of shade now.
Right, there's too much, so what's even like the
hot... That's the problem? Shade?
That it's covering, it's not... Well, normally not at the top. If it's above the sukkah, then it's going to be because of the shade. And if it's underneath the sukkah, you're not underneath the sukkah or something there. So what's the hot in the mission? I'm saying, oh, in these cases, we have to tell you, by the way, you're going to be puzzled.
You're saying the Havamina that there's too much shade? That's the problem?
Why
let me ask you a question. What's the problem if there's a blanket covering your scarf?
On top of your scarf?
Yeah.
Then the problem would be the shade. Because
what do you mean?
There's no sunlight.
So?
So you're telling me...
But you have kosher scarf, right? Dal ashteros karnayim, you take away the mountains and now you'll have a kosher sukkah. Just because the mountains are there and you don't have any shade coming from your scarf, so who cares? But your
scarf... You if I were to put a blanket on top of my sukkah, it would be a problem?
I'm saying the Mishnah says you're not allowed to put a blanket on top of your sukkah.
So my question is, if we didn't have this Mishnah,
yeah.
Now I put a blanket over the top of my sukkah. So there's no sunlight. It's completely shady. It'll be okay?
Well, saying that's back to Amar Aleph, right? On Amar Aleph, it was Abaye, right? Abaye said if the shade at the end of the day is not coming from your sukkah, it's coming from the mountains because you're in a valley, you're Yotze.
Okay, because
you have a kosher sukkah. In fact, the Baal HaMor, I mean, we don't pass him like this, but the Baal HaMor would argue if you have a kosher sukkah and you built it under a tree, so as long as you have a kosher sukkah, so what's the problem?
So over here, you know that the blanket's part of your sukkah. It's not like...
Right, so the blanket's the problem, no? So what's the blanket made out of? The blanket's makabel tuma. I mean, it's schach basel. I mean, that's the problem, right? The whole blanket shouldn't be valid. Yeah. So, yeah. So I like your question, but not based on your premise. Question is a good question.
I think it depends on which case. Each of the three cases are very different. One's on top, one's underneath, and one's... You're saying something because it's...
So I'm just saying, in the first case where the blanket's on top of the schach, sounds like you may have invalidated your schach. That's pretty strong. I mean, like, come on. Why should that be good? I agree with that. That's a great question. In the second case, when it's underneath, so then you have to wonder, like, what's going on if it's there to protect you so you're not sitting under your schach. So that's a different case than the first case. The first case is that the schach may have been invalidated by the blanket on top. Case number two is when you're not sitting under the schach anymore because of the blanket. It's not a problem in the sukkah. It's a problem for your yeshiva sukkah. It's a problem for the way you're sitting in it, right? And then in the third case is maybe similar, maybe not. And the Gemara is going to go into details on that. When you're in like a tent or you're in something inside your sukkah, you know, you want to sleep under the table. We had that. Was it last year? There wasn't a lot of room in the sukkah. And so my shifra, she's like, where am I going to sleep? So I said, under the table. Women don't have to sleep. But in any case. So the Mishnah's third case is Oshapiris Agave Akina, that you spread this blanket, you made a tent. Instead of the bed has these posts, you made a tent. Psula, bustle, no good. But there's another type of bed called Naklite Amita, which apparently is more like one of those military style tents in the olden days anyway, where it was like a triangle, so it doesn't really have a roof. Because a roof, in order to be considered a roof, it has to be a tefach. That goes back to what we spoke about yesterday. Remember, it was tefach by tefach by tefach. So you have to have, in order to be considered a roof, that's going to bring tumah from one place to another. If you remember from yesterday, so there has to be a tefach of something. So it has to be a tefach leintan with. So if the blanket is just going to be like a triangle, and there's not a tefach of actual roof, so that's not considered to be anything. So how does the Gemara address this Mishnah? Amar Rav Chista starts with a statement. Amar Rav Chista, lo yishanu. What's lo yishanu? Right, we don't learn Ella except. So in other words, that we're going to limit a statement of the Mishnah right now. Lo yishanu el bnei ha'nishar. So that when the Mishnah said you're not allowed to spread a blanket due to schacht falling, sounds like the only problem of a blanket is when it's put up for the purpose of preventing, you know, the schacht from falling in your soup. But apparently the implication of that is there are other reasons where spreading a blanket would be allowed. Otherwise, what should the Mishnah have said? You're not allowed to spread a blanket on your schach. Why does it have to say mipnei hanishar? What is this, like a seminary girl question? Well, why would someone do that? I don't care why someone would do that. They did. You know what I mean? In other words, the Mishnah is not there. What I mean by that is, the Mishnah is not there to give you like a specific case about why someone might do that. We don't care. Did it happen or didn't happen? So obviously the Mishnah is not there to tell us, well, you know, probably because that's why people would do it. The Mishnah is giving us rules. So if the rule is that you're not allowed, you have to sit under your schach. So you can't sit under a blanket. So Mishnah should say, if you spread a blanket under your schach, it's no good. Done. The implication of the Mishnah, that if you spread it because of falling schach, that's a problem. But apparently, for other reasons, it would be okay. So says the Gemara Amar Chista Leshanu El Min HaNishar. We only learn, rather, the only case is that it's a problem is when it's for falling things. But in order to beautify the schach, kshera, it is kasher. So that means, halacha lemaisa, that means that if you had a very beautiful decorative blanket or one of these mural types of things, you know, people put on the wall, what do you call these? Tapestry. They look a very beautiful tapestry. It's got like lulavim and estrogim and sukkahs and whatever. So you could, you know, drape it across your schach and you're sitting under the tapestry. And that's fine, because that's to beautify the sukkah. That makes sukkahs beautiful. Now, others may say that what's so beautiful about the sukkah is the schach, but that's a question. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Gemara asks, pshita, that is obvious, the statement. Your beautiful, complicated, precise diuk that you just made is obvious. Mipnei anashar tanan. The Mishnah says the only problematic case is when you spread it because of the falling schach. Manda Omar, sorry, Mo the same. I might have thought who had enough feeling. One might have suggested that really the Mishnah meant even if you're trying to beautify your sukkah, it's still problematic. Well, then why did it say mipnei anishar? But haydi katani mipnei anishar, the fact that it says it teaches us in the Mishnah because of falling schach, urcha de milsa katani. That's because that's the case that most people do it. It's just saying, or you did it like that because most people do that because of Nishar. Because most people, that's not the common case. Kamashmalan, no. That's not what the Mishnah had in mind. The Mishnah is not trying to teach, but apparently that would have been legit. That would have been a legitimate way to read the Mishnah. So here you go. We have just validated a certain degree of seminary girls. So even though you could have argued that it was only that's the common case, nope. It is a valid diuk, says Rechista, that we do not read the Mishnah that way. And the Mishnah should be read. It's only for that reason that it's a problem. But if you're doing it to beautify the sukkah, that is legit. Lame, Messiah, let us say that supports this. What supports it? Sichacha kehilchasa. A person put the schach on his sukkah appropriately. So he was masachech according to halacha. The itra, and it's kosher in and of itself. The itra, what's itra mean? Literally, anybody know? You ever heard of a girl named Atara, a seminary girl? Atara? What's her name? What does it mean? Nobody? Wow, okay. And Atara means a crown. A crowner. So itra means to crown it. So he crowned, he decorated his schach, bekramen, v'sadinen, v'mitziyaren, with whatever, all kinds of decorative objects, whether it's cloths or whatever it is, but they're all decorative types of things. V'talaba, egoizen, shkeidim, this is maybe where the minute comes from to put, you know, fruits on the sukkah, that it's already, in the Gemara it talks about, and he hung from the schach, nuts, almonds, I don't know, all these kinds of fruits, whatever it is, v'moinim, pomegranates, parchile, anavim, v'atar shal shiboilin, yeinu, shmanim, slosais. So a whole list of all kinds of things that people would hang from their schach, stalks of who knows what, or I don't know, wine bottles, I don't know, oil. Aser lehistapek mehen, admatzian deva acharmayin shelchak. It is prohibited to histapek, means to get use. It's prohibited to get any use out of those decorative objects. The list of decorative objects are food or items that a person would use for eating or for whatever. So these are items that a person would normally use in his sukkah even. But because he used them for decoration in his sukkah, they are, you know the fancy phrase? Huktza l'mitzvasan. They are designated for the mitzvah of sukkah, and therefore he's not allowed to use them for anything else until Yom Tov is over. Yom Tov Acharon Shelchag. V'im hisna aleihem, and if, meaning but if, he made a t'nai. What's the hadjant of t'nai? A t'nai is a t'noyim. We make t'noyim right before wedding. Yeah, close. He made a t'nai. I did this al t'nai. Al manas, al t'nai with a t'nai. Condition, thank you, excellent. On the condition. So the im hisna alem, if he made a condition upon them, hakolafi to know, then it all goes according to his condition. What does that mean? That means to say that a person has the right, and we did this year, we were very careful to do this year. My sukkah, the kids love to hang off the spinny things. You know the spinny things? You guys have these spinny things, right? You twist them and they spin like a drill. So they love to play with them. So it could be, you can play with them anyway, I don't know exactly. But we trust, we made it tonight, we said whatever we're putting up in the sukkah, so we reserve the right to use them the entire sukkah. If they come down, we can use them. We tell them, pull them, take them, whatever we want. We reserve the right to use them the whole sukkah. We're not designating them decoration. So Akol, if you know, it all goes according to his condition. So what does that do with anything? Why should that be a support to anything? What does that do with anything? So what do you say? Why did Mark quote this? We said that we're going to move in Daik from our Mishnah, that you're allowed to hang things up, even covering your schach, and that is not a problem whatsoever, as long as it's decorative in nature. If it's there to prevent the schach from falling down, you got a problem. But you're not sitting under your schach. But if it's decorative, then the way we're going to understand that is that any decoration is part of the schach. Yeah, you hear that? Any decoration is part of the schach. When you beautify something, you're not replacing it. When you beautify something, you're beautifying it. Right? A woman that's wearing makeup is more beautiful because she's more beautiful, right? It's not that makeup is beautiful. She's not just changing who she is. It's beautifying her. So, right, that's why natural makeup is the best way to go because it looks natural, right? Anyway, so that's the idea is that it's considered batel to the schach. It's a decoration for the schach. And therefore, even though you're sitting under it, the extreme example would be a tapestry. But because that is decorative, it is beautifying your schach, you're under the schach. Okay, so now we wanted to say that there's a support here. What's the support? That if a person goes ahead and he puts up all of these kinds of things, which includes sadinim, so you're allowed to use them as long as you make a t'nai. You don't make a t'nai, you're not allowed to use them. So what's the proof? How does this prove anything? What do you say? Well, one of the things on the list was a tapestry, a cloth. So apparently you're allowed to use it, and it's not a problem. So that's explicit over here in this statement.
So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara answers, you don't have a proof from that. Why not? Dilma, perhaps, min hatzad.
What's min hatzad? From the side. So the side here, the Gemara is not saying, oh, it's the side of the schach. It means maybe you put them on your walls. Maybe you put the tapestries on the walls. How do you know it means you put the tapestries on top of your schach? You can't prove that. It may be what it means, may not be what it means. So you can't prove that this statement here is saying that you can put tapestries under your schach. It's not a proof. Itmar, it was stated. Noye sukkah. Noye means noy. Noye means decorations. Noye sukkah. Sukkah decorations. Ein mematin b'sukkah. They don't reduce the dimensions of your sukkah. Well, that's important, right? Can you imagine if you have a sukkah that's very low and you want to hang all kinds of decorations or maybe a tapestry from the schach? Well, now your sukkah is not big enough anymore. The schach is too low. The opposite would be, what if your schach is too high? No problem, we'll just put out some tapestry with some decorations that'll lower the schach. Doesn't work that way. No yesukkah ain't mamatin b'sukkah. Decorations do not minimize the sukkah at all. Amravashi min atzad mamatin. That's only from the schach, not from the sides. If you go ahead and you have walls and you put decorations on your walls, so that will make the wall considered to be closer in than it was before. That's so theoretically in a very, very small sukkah, that could be a problem. Minyamin avdei de Rav Ashi. Minyamin, not to be confused with Binyamin. Minyamin, got a few of those over here. Minyamin, who was the slave of Rav Ashi. Yes, they had slaves back then. It mishalei ketonta b'maya. His ksoines. What's a ksoines?
Eyes and robe.
Yeah, his clothes.
See, his shirt, his clothes. They got all wet with water. Got soaked with water. The ishtacha, so he, you know, the shtachim, what do they call the shtachim? All those, how do you translate that? The settlements, all of the shtachim. They're all spread out all over Eretz Yisrael, you know? Spread out. So he spread it out. Amatalalasa. Amatalalasa is Aramaic for sukkah. So he spread out his clothes that got wet on the sukkah.
So, you know, sukkah has to be under the sky. It's not shaded, it's usually in the sun. So it's going to be, you can dry things out very easily on the top of the sukkah. So he thought that was a great idea. So he put, it was probably, you know, made out of linen or whatever. So it's like, you know, natural ingredients. And he put it on the sukkah to dry out. I'm really Rav Ashi. Delaya! Rav Ashi said to him, pick it up.
The loy limru, so that people won't say, komasachache, you're using first schach, you're mesachaching, b'davar ha-makabal tumma, with something that is makabal tumma.
Why is it makabal tumma? So in other words, assumingly, it's probably made out of linen or some, you know, natural material. But because it's made into clothing, to finish the sentence, clothing is what? Susceptible to tumma. It's makabal tumma. So that's a problem. Even though technically it may be natural materials that theoretically you could use for schach, but it's makabal tumma.
So he apparently responded to his master, Vahakachazu, but they'll see, lay it, Dirtiva, that it's drenched.
No one's going to think you're using it for a schach. It's obvious, the thing's wet. What's it doing there? It's not there to make shade inside the sukkah. It's there because it's drenched, it's drying out.
Okay, you're right. Lechi, for when Yavusha, it dries, Kamin Alech, I'm telling you.
You're right, it's really a problem when it dries.
Until then, it really is obvious. You're right, you could leave it there, but it's going to end up there. So either he was telling him, make sure to take it down before it's dry, or he's telling him that you're right in and of itself right now, but eventually it's going to dry, and you'll probably forget to take it down, so better take it down now when it's wet, because it's going to end up there when it's dry. Whatever exactly he meant, the bottom line is that if it really was soaking wet, so it's not a problem. But if it's dry, then it's a problem of what? What do we call that? What people are going to think. What do we call that? Maris Ayin. It's probably Maris Ayin. What people will think. Itmar. It was said. Noye sukkah muflag mimena arba. Sukkah decorations ha muflagin.
Dor ha flaga. Oh, this is Parsha. Dor ha flaga. What's Dor ha flaga? Generation of what? The dispersion. Why is it called dispersion? What does plag mean? Remember? Plag literally? What? No. Plag HaMincha, you're thinking. Yeah. Yes, what does it mean, Plag HaMincha? What's Plag? Pligi. You know, a lot of times they'll say Pligi. They argue. Why is Pligi before? Why is Pligi mean argue? It means separate. The generation of dispersion is the generation of the separation, where people separated from each other and went all over the place. Plag HaMincha is the split between the minchas. So Plag means to split. So it means an argument, because it means people are splitting, they're dividing. So Muflagin means they are spread out, they are separated. So Noye Sukkah HaMuflagin, Sukkah decorations that are separated, Mimena, from the Tzchach, Arba'ah means four. But is it talking about four Amos or four Tfachim? I'll tell you an interesting linguistic trick for you linguists out there. How do you know if it means four Amos or four Tfachim? It never says. But I know. Hey, you got it! So how do you know? So it's Arba'ah. So Arba'ah is Amos or Tfachim?
That's hard. Well,
meaning even though that the word Arba'ah is Nekeva, but it refers to the Zachar way, the Zachar object, right? So it's Tfachim, correct. So Arba'ah always means Tfachim. And if it was Amos, what would it be?
Arba'ah.
Amos. You like that?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so what's the case? So the case, Idmar. It was said, Noye Sukkah that are separated from the Tzach for Tfachim. So what's, how do you separate? It's floating in the air? It's tied. But the string is allowing it to hang for Tfachim away from the Tzach. We're not going to get into the nitty-gritties of it, like what happens if a little bit of it is within for Tfachim, but most of it is out of for Tfachim. Yeah, that's what all the posts can deal with. When you're hanging your Sukkah decorations, how careful do you have to be that the whole decoration is within for Tfachim, or just the beginning of the decoration is within for Tfachim? Most of the decorations are not a problem anyway because they're so small. But theoretically, if you're hanging something huge from your Tzach, and it is more than for Tfachim away, so we see, in a second, you have a problem. So Noye Sukkah Muflagin Mimena Arba. So the Sukkah decorations that are four Tfachim away from your Tzach. Rav Nachman Omar Ksheira Rechista Rabba Baravuna Amri Psula. It's a machlokes if it's kosher or if it's pasul. What does it mean? What is it called? It's not valid decoration? It doesn't mean kosher or pasul. Is the decoration valid or not, right? What does it mean? It means that you have a problem eating under it. If it's a very large object and it's covering the Tzach from where you are, so it could be that it's passeling you from sitting in the sukkah. You're sitting under a piece of decoration that's not considered just a beautification of the tzchach. Why? Because it's too far away from the tzchach. Make sense? Even though it's decoration, it's decoration, but it's hanging so far away that it's not clearly associated enough with the tzchach to be considered just a simple beautification of the tzchach, and therefore it's considered a separate object. It's hanging from the tzach. It's not considered decoration. The other opinion is, what's the problem? It's decoration. What's the problem? Who cares that it's hanging four tefachim away? That's how I want it. So we paskin, it's a problem if it's more than four tefachim away. But it's a machlokas here in the Gemara. The first opinion is, Nachman holds it doesn't make a difference. It's decoration, it's decoration, it's decoration. Rechista, Rabbi Baruna say, you're right, it's decoration if it's too far away to be associated with the tzach. And therefore, at least Madira Banan will consider it to be a problem. Okay, Ruchista, Rabbi Baravuna. I think one has a story. Ruchista and Rabbi Baravuna iklu. They visited the bay, the house of Reish Galusa. You know what that Reish Galusa was? Well, kind of. Like, what was the position Reish Galusa? What does it literally mean?
Head of
what?
Galusa.
Galusa comes from what word? What does it sound like?
Exiles.
Yeah, the head of the exiles. So in Eretz Yisrael, there was somebody called a Nasi. So he came from David HaMelech. And then there was a person that was in Chutz Laaretz. He was referred to as the Reish Galusa. He was the same personality in Chutz Laaretz. He was the head of the Galus. He was the God of Ador. He was the head of the Galus. So they went in Bavel to visit the Reish Galusa. Okay. Some say that they were going because they wanted to do the mitzvah of greeting your Rebbe on the regel. But whatever it is, they went to. It sounds like they were going to visit him specifically, not just that they were passing through. That's what it sounds like. So that's a pashut shot. Agninhu, Rav Nachman, Basuka, Shenoya Muflagin Mimena, Arba'a, here it says, Tfachim. So they went to visit Rav Nachman, the Reish Galusa, or
was he actually Rish Galusa, or he was just the one that put them there? Rav Nachman Av Bezin Hayav, and I'm going to base Rish Galusa. Rashi writes, he was not the Rish Galusa, he was the head of the Bezdin, and he was apparently, you know, running the show over there in the house of the Rish Galusa, so he's the one that took charge over here. So what does it mean, Agninhu? He gave them to sleep. A nice yeshivish way of talking. He put them to sleep. So he showed them where to sleep. He said, here, go sleep in the sukkah. And that particular sukkah had apparently a lot of decorations, or maybe even a, who knows what it was, but it was separated from the schach by four tefachim. Okay, so backtrack. Back, take a step back from the war in a second. What happened over here? So those personalities, those rabbanon, that held that it's a problem if the sukkah's if the decorations are more than four tefachim away, Rav Nachman gave them their instructions, put them to sleep in a sukkah that, according to them, was what? Was basel. Huh. Ishtiku. V'lo amrulei v'lo midi. What's ishtiku? Shtika.
They shut up.
They were silent, okay? And they didn't say not even a word. They didn't say anything to them, v'lo midi, not even a word. Amar lehu. So he said to them, Hadur b'hu rabbanon. Hadur means you were chozer. You go and back on your words, rabbanon. Hadur b'hu rabbanon. You changed your mind, rabbanon. Now you think it's okay? So this is something, he sounds like he was testing them, right? He wanted to see what they would do, maybe. Mishma Isayu, from your shemua, from that which you heard, that which you, with Paskin, that what you said. Amrulei, they said to him, Anan, we, shluchei mitzvah anan. We are shluchei mitzvah. We are being sent to perform a mitzvah. Uvpiturin min hasukkah. And we are exempt from sukkah. So we have a principle, osek b'mitzvah patur min a mitzvah, that when a person is involved in a mitzvah, he's exempt from doing another mitzvah. Rambam says he has a case. Let's say that a person finds a sefer Torah, you know? So if you don't roll a sefer Torah occasionally, so it's going to be bad for the sefer. It's going to wear out, or the letters are going to stick, whatever. So you have to roll a sefer Torah. In the shuls, they're usually, what they do is they usually have some kind of cycle, where they use a different sefer Torah, so none of them sit too long without being used. So you've got the sefer, you've got a piece of clothing maybe that needs to be stretched out, or whatever it is. So you are doing Hashavas Aveda, and you are involved with your Aveda by dealing with it. All of a sudden, you know, a guy comes up and he says, Achnas Skala. He tries to collect some stucco from you. So you're Osek Bar Mitzvah. You don't have to give him stucco. You're in the middle of doing a mitzvah, like in shul. You're in the middle of davening. Somebody comes up to you and he says, stucco, Achnas Skala. You don't have to give stucco. You're in the middle of davening. Osek Bar Mitzvah, Patr Min HaMitzvah. People like to give stucco when they're davening because it's considered to be a good segula that your tefillah should be answered. So people like to get stuck on the davening. So that's a little bit maybe different. But technically speaking, a person that's doing a mitzvah is exempt from another mitzvah that comes his way. Rishonim point out, wait a minute, it doesn't mean aveiros, that's number one. Person can't say I'm wearing tefillin, therefore I can do an aveira. Right? It doesn't mean a pater min aveiros. It means pater min a mitzvah. You're exempt from doing another mitzvah. So this is great. So a person puts on tefillin, doesn't have to do any other mitzvah the rest of the day, right? Doesn't have to daven, doesn't have to wear talis, right? So Tosfos already points out that it doesn't mean that. It means that if there's a mitzvah you can do simultaneously, so you don't say osik b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah. It means if you have to stop the one you're doing to perform another mitzvah, what gives you the right to do that? You're allowed to just like say, oh, I'm not interested in doing this mitzvah is more important. What? You have no right to do that. So if you're osik b'mitzvah, you have no right to say, well, I'll go do something else. You know, I'm not going to do this mitzvah. That mitzvah is more important. No, osik b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah. So where's shluchei mitzvah, they said? What exactly was the mitzvah they were sent to do? So pashup shat is they were visiting the Rebbe. That's a pashup shat. We're osik b'mitzvah because we're doing the mitzvah of greeting a Rebbe. Others want to say, no, probably they were on their way to go do pidyon shvuyim. They were redeeming captives. They're probably on their way to do something else. So they were osik b'mitzvah because they were sent to do some kind of mitzvah. But whatever it is, their point was that they're involved in a mitzvah, and therefore, technically speaking, they are exempt from sukkah as well. And it becomes a whole discussion in halacha. But what do you mean by they're going to sleep anyway? So if you're going to sleep anyway, why shouldn't you sleep in a sukkah? But you're not chayav to get a sukkah. You're on your way traveling. You're not mechuyav to go out of your way necessarily to find a sukkah. But that's what they said. Don't give us any troubles. Don't give us a hard time for sleeping in a sukkah whose decorations are more than four tefachim away, because we don't even have to sleep in a sukkah anyhow. So the Mishnah had mentioned all these cases of sleeping like in some kind of tent, like inside a sukkah. So we're going to get back to that here. If a person is allowed, it's permitted to sleep in what's called a kila basukkah, even though it has at least even a tefach or more of a roof. Wait a minute. So imagine this scene here. You've got one of these, four-post bed, canopy bed. You got a canopy bed. And the Mishnah said you're not allowed to sleep in a canopy bed. And now we're saying you're allowed to sleep in a canopy bed. What? We'll make up your mind. The Mishnah says no, now we're going to say yes. So the Gemara explains, v'hu, and that type of bed we're saying you're allowed to sleep in, she'ena gavoya asara, is because the roof is not 10 tfachim high. The canopy is less than 10 tfachim from where you're sleeping. Okay, so that's a new piece of information. So apparently, when we say that you're not allowed to sleep under something because it's going to separate between you and the schach, it's because you've created a significant area there where the tent or the roof that's in between you and the sukkah is 10 tefachim high. But if it's less than that, apparently it's fine. And that's the case of the kila. If you don't mishmuel, mutar lishon bekila basukkah, you're allowed to sleep in a kila in a sukkah, afal pi sheyesh lagag, even though it has a roof, v'hu sheina gavoya asara, but specifically when the kila is made in a way where it's not 10 tefachim high. Okay? Tashma, come in here. If a person sleeps in a sukkah, exists in a kila in a sukkah, he's not yotze, his mitzvah of sukkah. By the way, you notice it doesn't say psula, it says not yotze, right? That's what we expect. You're not yotze. So what do you call this? A contradiction. We just finished saying you're allowed to sleep in a kila in a sukkah, as long as it's not ten tefachim high. Now we say, you're not allowed to sleep in a kila, so you're not yotze. So what's the obvious answer? What are we dealing with over here when it says you're not yotzei? Kishagavoy azara. That's talking about a kila that is 10 tefachim high. So bottom line is, you're allowed to sleep under a canopy as long as the canopy is not 10 tefachim high. Meisive is an attack kasha. Let me ask you, I have a problem. Hayashen tachas hamita basukkah. If a person sleeps under a bed in a sukkah, he's not yotze, his obligation. Come on, guys. How high is a bed? 10 tefachim? Who sleeps on a bed that's 10 tefachim high? We're talking about sleeping under the bed. So who has a bed? The bottom of the bed, the mattress is 10 tefachim high? I mean, that's as high as this table. Okay, so you got to talk about that too. If a person sleeps under a bed, he's not yotze. So that the reason the Gemara asks this is because it doesn't sound likely that a bed is going to be so high. Hatirgama Shmuel, no, but Tirgama is a targum, right? He explained or translated. Hatirgama Shmuel, Shmuel already explained that case to be b'mita gavayasara, bed at 10 tefachim high. Okay, I mean, that's what we would have said. It's just that, you know, all right, if you have to say it, you have to say it. But in a chanami, Shmuel insisted that if the bed is less than 10 tefachim, you could sleep under the bed. The only problem is when you have something that's a real 10 tefach high canopy. Tashma, come in here, or if you spread this blanket on top of a kinoif, another type of bed, psula, it's pasul. And apparently, I don't know, the regular kinoif was not usually 10 tefachim high or whatever, but it's the same question all over again. It sounds like you're not allowed to sleep in something that's a 10, no matter how high it is. No, again, hasanami, there also, the gavi, where it is high, asara, 10 tefachim high. All these cases are only problematic if the canopy, if what's above you, is 10 tefachim high. V'aloi katani achi. But we didn't learn that in the Mishnah. Why? The Sanya, the Brises, we learn in the Brises, Brises explains, Naklitin, Shnayim, V'kinoifes, Arba. When we talk about Naklite Amita refers to a bed that only has two posts, and therefore anything spread on top of it will be like a triangle, and it won't have a roof, so that should be fine. And the Kinoif is four posts, Pires al gabe kinoif is psula, gabe naklitin kshera. And therefore, if you spread a blanket on the kinoif, it's pasul. But on the naklite amita, since it's going to be a triangle, is kasher. And then it says, ubilvad shaloye naklitin gavoyan min amita asara. As long as the naklitin, remember, naklitin is a triangle. As long as the triangle, when the one only has two posts, is less than 10 tfachim. End quote. So what did the Braisa say? How did the Braisa explain the Mishnah? The Braisa says, if you have a bed, there are two types of beds. Four posts and two posts. The four posts, no good. The two posts, depends. Even though it doesn't have a roof. But if the posts allow there to be enough space that there's 10 tefachim high, that's a problem. Less than 10 tefachim is fine. Okay, good? So that's the Gemara says. There are two cases, two posts and four posts. Four posts, no good. It doesn't seem to make a difference how high it is. Two posts, depends. As long as it's less than 10 tefachim, it's fine. But if it's higher than 10 tefachim, the two posts, no good. So the Gemara says, Mechlal, that implies, the kinoifois, the four-post bed, af al pisha ein gavoyen asara, are a problem. Even though they're not 10 tefachim high, are problematic. Because the only time that the Braisa says you have a problem of 10 tefachim is when it's a two-post one. Less than 10 tefachim, okay. More than 10 tefachim, no good. But apparently the four-post is a problem even if it's less than 10 tefachim. It's a problem simply because it has a gag, because it has a roof. Kasha! The Gemara answers, right? So what's the kasha? The kasha is because we've been saying the whole time. It's not true. That the bed you can sleep under, that you can always sleep under a roof as long as it's less than 10 tefachim from the ground, right? So what's going on? The Gemara says, Shani kinoifes. It's different kinoifes. Kinoifes are different de kivie because they're very fixed. What do you mean they're very fixed? I mean, this is not like a tent. These apparently were solid posts, and there was a serious canopy bed. A serious canopy bed. It's not just you don't just like spread something around it, sort of like ad hoc. You ever see these beds that they have like the four post bed, but they don't have anything on top of it. It's not a canopy bed. It's just a fancy bed. You could put a canopy on it if you want to, but apparently this one was built. There was like a built in canopy or something like that. It's kaviyeh. It's always like that. It's not like you spread it on and you take it off. It's fixed there like that. So that's a problem, even if it's less than 10. Now, one may wonder, but what about a bed? Like, oh, why is a bed different? So, maybe because people don't sleep under beds. That's not normal. This is made that you sleep under the canopy all the time. So, the canopy, so kinovas are the exception. Because they're kivie, they're fixed like that. Vahare sukkah al gabe sukkah. But remember we talked about before about a sukkah on top of another sukkah? And we said, if you can't have that. If there's a sukkah on top of another sukkah, the bottom sukkah is pasul. The kiviyah, that is certainly fixed. Like the top sukkah is made to be a sukkah. For Amar Shmuel kechshera kach psula, and Shmuel said that the only time a sukkah on top of another sukkah is a problem is just like it's kasher, so to its pasul, meaning it's only problematic with 10 tefachim. But you're telling me that something that's fixed like that is problem even less than 10 tefachim. So it's against what Shmuel said. Amri Hasam, to the Mifsal Sukkah be Asara. There, you're pasul in the Sukkah. To pasul the lower Sukkah, so then Shmuel held it doesn't pasul it until it's 10 tefachim high. Hara le Shavuye Oihala, but here we're talking about making something a tent. I'm not talking about pasuling the Sukkah, when's it a Sukkah, Gabi Sukkah. Here we're talking about when is something considered to be a tent. To make something considered a tent, less than 10 tefachim is considered to be an oihel, a tent, if it's built that way, if it's fixed that way, and that's the way that it's built. Period. That is the end of this part of the Gemara's discussion about all of these things. So what we're going to do now is the Gemara is going to address an interesting case that's related to this, but totally tangential, and we're going to use this also just to learn a shtickl halacha about Krishna and some other interesting topics as well. So you ready? Ready to refocus for a minute? Yeah? Take a deep breath. Look at the ceiling. Refocus. Yeah, you ready? So here we go. So the Gemara says, Amar of Tachlifa bar Avimi, Amar Shmuel. Of Tachlifa bar Avimi said that he heard in the name of Shmuel, that he heard directly from Shmuel, Hayashayim Bekila Arum. A guy is sleeping in a kila naked. No pajamas. Motzi rosha chutz lekila, v'korei kriya shema. He can stick his head out of the kila and read kriya shema.
What's the issue? What is going on over here? So here you have a case. A typical kila apparently was less than 10 tefachim high. So it's a kila. What's the kila again? The kila means it has some kind of roof, but it's less than 10 tefachim high. So it has a roof. So he wants to say kriya shema because he wants to go to sleep, but he's not dressed. He has no clothes. He came just at the right time. So what's the problem? Why can't he just say kriya shema? Why does he need to stick his head out of the kila? Anybody know? What?
Naked.
So? To spell it out. What's the problem?
Can't say
kriya shema
naked.
The pasuk tells us, you're not allowed to see nakedness in you. You can't be involved in a davar shabbat kedusha when you're not dressed. Yes, so that's what we're going to discuss now. So what he can do is, he can stick his head outside of this kila, and then apparently that's good enough to say Krishna.
We'll deal with it, some of the details as we go. Gemara says, Mesi, I have a kasha. Hayashen v'akila arum. If a person's sleeping in a kila naked, lo yaitzi roisher chutz l'kila v'yekar kriya shema. He should not. It doesn't help. He should not, meaning it doesn't work. He should not stick his head outside the kila and say kriya shema.
Wait, so that's a direct contradiction. One says that's what he should do. The other one says he should not do that.
Hachabamaya askinan. Here with what are we dealing when he cannot simply stick his head out? Kishagavaya asara.
When the kila is 10 tefachim high. When the roof is 10 tefachim high. Why? What's the difference? So what the Gemara is saying is that when the kila is less than 10 tefachim high, he can stick his head out and say kriya shema. When the kila is more than 10 tefachim high, he cannot simply stick his head out and say kriya shema. Why? What's going on over here?
The Gemara finishes by saying, "Pachinam emistabra," and that makes a lot of sense to make this distinction. Minakatani Seifa, from the fact that it says in the Seifa there, Halamazo Doime, what's it similar to sticking his head out of the kila and saying Kriyashma that he's not allowed to do? Because it's 10 tefachim high, we're suggesting. What's it similar to? The Oimir Bebayas Arum. He's standing in his house naked. Shaloyoti Rushikhutz Lachala in Rikur Kriyashma. You can't simply stick your head out the window and say Kriyashma. Shema Mina. We hear from here.
Ubayas nami, in a house also, afo pishein gavaya sara, even though it's not 10 tefachim high, came in the kaviya, since a house is fixed, oihalohu, that's considered to be an oihal, deligarami kinoifais, which is certainly no worse than a kinoif, and therefore that everything we've been saying makes sense, that 10 tefachim should be a legitimate rule that has to do with oihal, house, that defines an oihal, that defines a house. And apparently, if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's not, in this regard, a tent. It's not a significant dimension. Okay, I'm totally confused on this. Let's try to just explain this. What is going on over here? So what the Gemara is saying, interestingly enough, is that, I always kind of dreamt, I have a problem. I walk to shul, and sometimes I'm walking pretty far, because especially sukkah time, so we spend sukkahs by my in-laws. So it's like a 35-minute walk for me to get to shul. And if it's raining, that means there's a lot of time for my pants to get very wet. So I got this really cool raincoat. Maybe you saw it. It's that like yellow one. It looks like one of the fireman raincoats. The problem is I didn't get the pants that comes with it. So for some reason, the way that it's designed, it just drips straight down into my pants. So I'm dry, but my pants are drenched. So I always had this idea. I want to make an invention where the clothing, you put it on, and then there's like a wire or something that makes it like stick out. So it's like kind of like wearing an umbrella. So you can like walk in, it looks like one of these gowns that like a ball, I want to look like Beauty from Beauty and the Beast. So like it'll just like drip off
and I can keep walking, and there'll be nothing that's, you know, blocking my legs. It'll make like a big circle, like a hula hoop at the bottom, and like, you know, it'll be good to go. It sounds like a great invention, right? Anybody want to pull it off for me? I don't care about looking weird. Anyway, so what's the story if you're wearing a piece of clothing that's really like that? Are you wearing clothes, or are you walking around in a tent?
Interesting.
What?
Interesting.
They have these costumes. Oh, Halloween is coming up in Yonah Yuma. They have these costumes where, like, you're wearing like a thing like around you, you know? They have like showers. You know, the Karate Kid, right? Didn't he like wear like a shower in one of these, like, in the ball? So, like, what's the story? Are you walking in a tent, or are you wearing clothing? You'll say, who cares? Well, I'll tell you who cares. Oh, there's a very relevant halacha. Krishna. I want to be able to say Shema. Can I simply stick my head out of it, and that's considered like I'm wearing this piece of clothing, and now I cannot see my body, so I'm good to go. I can say Krishna. Lo yir v'charevas davar, so you can't see your nakedness when you're doing a davar shavikdusha. No problem. So I'll stick my head out. It's good to go. Or no. That's considered to be like you're inside a tent. See, you can't just stick your head outside of the window. It doesn't work. So that's the Gemara's question. That's the Gemara's resolution. Is that it depends if it's 10 tefachim high or not. If it's less than 10 tefachim of height, that's considered to be just a piece of clothing. You're actually, you're wearing it. It's not considered a tent. And that has all kinds of nafkaminas for sukkah. And now in a totally separate area of Allah entirely, that has nafkaminas for saying Krishma, believe it or not. You're considered to be wearing it. It's not considered like it's a tent. Good? I read this Gemara today, and I said to myself, it doesn't make any sense, because that's a big problem. What's the big problem? Just because I can't see myself, but my heart can see myself. What do you mean your heart can see yourself? So there's a concept of libo roa es ha'erva. Have you ever heard of this? You've heard of agarto? They say by the Hasidim that they don't wear ties, you know? Because they wear their gartel over here. Between their heart and the lower part of their body, you know, the taivas. But you know, the litvaks, they wear their gartel over here to separate between their brain and their heart.
Ah, that's so funny.
Now, I'm a litvak, so I get mad when I hear jokes like that, but you know, okay, I hear the word, it's a good word. The idea of a gartel is there to separate between the heart and the lower part of the body. That's what it's for. And the olden days, you know, before they had like underwear and things like that, so a person could be wearing like a long robe. And the problem with a robe is his head is sticking out. You can go ahead and say Kriya Shema. But I thought there's a concept of libo roa esa erva. Your heart is not allowed to see your erva either, which means you have to put on a belt. You have to put on a gartel, Baruch Hashem, for underpants. Nowadays we have elastic underpants, so that's enough. That's enough. Even if you're wearing like a big nightshirt and, you know, as long as you're wearing underpants, you don't need a gartel on over there because the underpants separate between your erva and your heart. So that's good enough. So that's why many people don't wear gartels, either because they have a belt on anyway or they have underpants on. That's good. And so that's enough. That's enough. But there's a minig, an ancient minig, to wear a gartel for davening. But the real source of gartel is that all of us wear a gartel for davening. It's just our gartel is either our actual belt or our pants or the elastic strap on your underwear. So what's the story with that? A guy sticks his head out of the kila. What's the problem? Based on everything I just said, what's the problem? He sticks his head out of the kila, but libo roa esa erva. He hasn't resolved the problem. It's a tent and he's naked. Libo roa esa erva. So take a look at the bottom taisus here. You see the taisus says moitzi? Last line on the page. Moitzi rusha chutz lakila v'kari krishma. Zaktaisus says, Loi Chayish Shmuel. Shmuel was not concerned. Leliboy Roya Esa Erva. For Leliboy Roya Esa Erva. What? Shmuel wasn't concerned for Leliboy Roya Esa Erva? That's your answer? Why not? Why not? What does that mean? How do you answer a question by saying, well, Shmuel didn't care about that? So you see the bracket? Do you know what that says? There's an acronym here, abbreviation here. What is that? Do you know? Can anybody figure it out? Can someone figure it out? What are the letters?
Kuf,
Asaf, and a Kuf. So what do you? Can anybody figure it out?
call something gula?
Keep guessing. Let's see if we can get it.
Kol
tavua. Kol tavua. Wow. No, kuf.
That's not it?
No, we're not there yet.
Kimo something.
Okay, kimo something. Kimo something. Ke something.
Time-ho.
Oh! We got it! Kitana kama. Kitana kama. Bivrachas chavdala amid beiz and chavhei amid beiz. If you take a look at the Gemara Brachas in those two places, you'll notice that the Gemara there in both places is discussing libo roa esa erva, and it is a machlekes. The Tanakh in both places says there's no issue. There's not a problem. There's no problem. Libo roa esa erva is not a problem at all. We don't pass in that way. We pass the libo roa esa erva is a problem. Where does all of this come from? It says lo yira v'cha ervas davar. You're not allowed to see erva when you're doing a davar shabik dusha. So what does that do with my heart? So if you have your Mishnah Berurah, if you don't, I should be mad at you. If you have your Mishnah Berurah, take it out. In Siman Ayin Dalet, which is the halachas of Kriya Shema, so Shulchan Aruch writes, Shelo levarech kishayvara b'yom esa erva. You're not allowed to make a bracha when you see kishayvara, when your body parts, see the erva. Shulchan Aruch says, Hayayashen arum v'talisoy. If a person is sleeping naked in his talis, how are you sleeping naked if you have a talis on? So first of all, it just means a garment or something. It doesn't mean that. But he means to say that that's all he has. All he has is a blanket. You know, let's say a person's just sleeping and all he has is a talis he's covered with. Tzarech lachaitz v'talis aliboy for azikra. He has to make a chatzitza. He has to make a separation with the talis on his heart. And then he's allowed to read. Mishum delibo roeza erva aser, because if your heart sees your erva, it's prohibited. So what does that mean? So this is halach lamaiseh for, let's say, a woman goes to the mikveh. So a woman goes to the mikveh, she's not wearing clothes because she's going to the mikveh. So what does she do if she's about the bracha on the mitzvah of going to the mikveh after she's an ida? And she's supposed to make the bracha. And we know it's a bracha on mitzvah, so bracha on mitzvah has to be made when? An hour or two beforehand? What do we call that? Over le'asiyasan. Over le'asiyasan. You have to make a bracha on a mitzvah right before you do the mitzvah, not in advance. So what should she do? So svardim, so they make the bracha before they take their robe off. But Ashkenazim, they don't have such a minig. So some say women don't have the issue, libos, whatever. Some say, well, women don't paskin like that, whatever. Some say that they should at least try to use their arms maybe to stop the break between the libos and erva. So that's a shayla that comes up, halach lamaisa and hilchos nida, what should a woman do? So when you get married, your wife should ask a shayla what she should do. But in Shulchan Aruch, it says that this is certainly a problem. We paskin that your heart is not allowed to see your erva. So if a person is just covered by a blanket, and he wants to say Shema, it's not enough to just do what Shmuel said. Shmuel passing like the Tanakama. But we don't passing like the Tanakama. So to go ahead and just stick your head out of a kila, to just go ahead and stick your head out from the blanket, is not good enough. Because you're not going to see your erva, but libo roesa erva. So Shulchan Aruch says, what do you have to do?
If you're wearing
then you're good. Then you're good, because you already separated. But if you're not, so then you have to go ahead and you have to make a division with the blanket. You have to push the blanket up tight against your body, something like that, and make a division in that way. So there's a Mishnah Berurah here, very, very interesting. And believe it or not, the Mishnah Berurah quotes our Gemara. Isn't that cool? So take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Dalit. Mishum de Libo. So he says, the erva b'ri'iyah tali rachmana. The problem of erva, of nakedness, has to do with sight. That's what the Torah says. Kirichsivlo, yir evicha ervastavar. You shouldn't see any unseemly thing amongst you in your camp. Which we're learning halach lamaisa to mean that erva cannot be visible when a person is davening, learning, doing dorish abikdusha. Matzinu lashon ri'iyah b'leiv. This is really interesting. The Mishnah says, and you find the concept of sight applicable to the heart. Your heart sees. Your heart sees. The pasuk says, "V'libi ra'a har bechachma." Shlema melech kayales. My heart has seen much wisdom, because seeing is believing. That seeing doesn't mean, I see what you're saying. You see what I'm saying? You don't see what I'm saying. I do. I see what you're saying. So sight, metaphorically, can also refer to understanding. Therefore, chachamim are machmir even for the heart seeing the erva, not just the eyes. Vida, and you should know that filu im liba mechlisa bebeged lahafzik beno leerva, that even if his heart is covered with a clothing to divide between him and his erva, tarach shetei ervasa gam kim mechlisa. His erva has to be covered too. Mishnah Berurah is saying, imagine a guy that says, okay, I'll put a shirt on. or he decides, you know, he's gonna pull up the blanket. He's wearing nothing. So he pulls up the blanket to his waist and wraps it around him. The whole bottom part of his body and his erva are totally visible. but his heart's covered. So then what do you say? Libo is not roes erva. We're good to go, right? He says, no, it doesn't work that way. The erva can't be visible either. So you have to have pants on. So many Achronim agree, and if his erva is not covered, he's not allowed to read Shema Midar Raisa. It's a great case. Okay, the guy wants to say Kriya Shema, so he knows he's not allowed to see his erva. He knows his heart's not allowed to see his erva. So what does he do? He pulls up the blanket to his head, and he wraps his head and his heart in the blanket. He can't see himself. His heart can't see himself because he's all wrapped up. But he's totally naked. His half of the body from waist down is naked. So Mr. Brin says you can't do that. That doesn't work either because his erva is visible, is open to the entire room, whether there's anybody there or not. But it's a very clever idea. so then he says, Lefichach, ha'amir b'bayis ha'ruim. If a person is in a house and he's naked, v'hoitzi roi shechutz l'chaloin, he puts his head out the window. Argumar. Shelo yira erva, so he shouldn't see his erva, afal pi shechatzat b'veged aliboy, even if he's wearing a shirt, he can't say Kriya Shema. Because his erva is visible in the house. If a person is sleeping naked in a kila, which is not 10 tefachim high. So what do we say? What our Gemara say? A person is sleeping in a kila that's not 10 tefachim high. He wants to say Shema. What should he do? Oh boy. He should stick his head outside the kila. Because since it's not 10 tefachim high, we don't consider it a tent. It's considered its clothing. It's as a Halloween costume, right? So he's wearing clothes. That keel is considered to be a blanket that he's wearing. So all he has to do is stick his head out. But what's halacha lamais? What's the problem with that? But Shmuel didn't account for what halacha? Libo roesa erva, says Tosis, because Shmuel apparently didn't paskin that way. Shmuel apparently paskin that we don't care about that, like the Tanakhama. But us here, we are concerned for that. We paskin libo roes erva is a problem. So you can't only stick your head out. So the Mishnah Berurah says, "Avala yashen aram bekila she'ina gavaya sarat tvach." A person sleeping in a kila that's not 10 tvachim high. V'hoitzei roi shechutzala, and he sticks his head outside. Ready for this? See what the Mishnah Berurah adds. V'gam chutzatz be'eza davar lahafzik ben libo le'erva. And not like Shmuel. But the Mishnah Berurah adds, and he does something to separate between his heart and his erva. Af al pish ervasim megula bekila, even though his erva is visible in the kila, harezoke mechusa betalis. That's like it's covered with a talis. Okay, so Mishnah Berurah wants to know the following. He's asking a question, he's answering it. He said, how can Shmuel say, if you're sleeping in a kila that's less than 10 tefachim high, all you have to do is stick your head out, and you can say Kriya Shema. Two problems. Number one, we answered. Tosis' kasha was, but libo roes erva. So Tosis says he didn't care about that. Submission because Tanakhama doesn't pass in that way. Tanakhama says it's not a problem. Okay, but we pass in it is a problem. Submission Bruh says, you're right. Halacha lamaise, if a person's in a kila, and he wants to stick his head out and say Kriya Shema, it's not enough. He has to also make some sort of separation between his heart and his erva. Okay, but says the Mishnah Berurah, but I just finished telling you, but if your erva's visible, then you can't say Kriya Shema, whether you see it or not. Remember his case, you cover yourself, your whole head and your body with your blanket, right? You can't do that. So says the Mishnah Berurah, that's not a problem. Why is that not a problem? Because the idea is that that kila, if it's less than 10 tefachim, is not a tent, it's what? It's like your clothes. So you're covered. So that's great. So now we have a great and very interesting case where a person has he's wearing a gartel, he's totally naked, and he's wearing a gartel. I don't know. And he sticks his head out of the top of this, this thing. This raincoat we invented, right, for the hula hoop on the bottom. So the raincoat we invented, the guy's naked. He's wearing a rope around his waist, and his head sticks out the top. And it's this huge open space. But he's covered. He's covered. That's close. Because he can't see his erva. So he solves the problem of him seeing his erva by his head sticking out. The gartel solves the problem of libo roesa erva, and his erva being visible is solved because at the end of the day he's covered, even though it's a huge space. But just like the kila, if it's less than 10 tvachim, that's considered clothing, it's not considered to be a tent. Shekevan she'ein akila gavoya sar tvachim, since the kila is not 10 tvachim high, shem kisui aleha kemoi balbush. It's called a covering, like clothing, it's not a tent. Any distinctions, and it's not like a house, because a house is considered to be its own rishus, so that's a different story altogether. And then he gets involved with another topic as well. So that's very interesting. Okay, so let's try to summarize what we did over here. So the Gemara itself has a lot going on over here. It talks about tapestries. That's really what the Gemara gets at itself. The Gemara is talking about any kind of separation between a person and the schach. So he said, if there's something covering the schach, that seems to be a problem because it's going to invalidate the schach. If it's underneath the schach, then we can get around it if it's considered to be decorative. Anything which is decorative is beautifying the schach and is therefore considered to be part and parcel of the schach. It's batel to the schach, if you want to use that terminology. It's part and parcel of the schach. And therefore, even a tapestry that goes all the way across the schach would technically be fine, because what's the problem? It's beautifying my schach. What if it's hanging more than 4 tefachim away from the schach? That's a machlokas in the Gemara. We paskin, it is a problem if it's more than 4 tefachim away from the schach. And therefore, you should try to hang your decorations within 4 tefachim of the schach. Or that it should be decorations that are not big enough to really be a problem to sit under. And when it has a case of the Rabbanim that did sleep in such a sukkah where apparently there was who knows what hanging from the schach more than 4 tefachim away. And they paskined that it's problematic. So what gave them the right to sleep in it? So they said, what do you mean? We're shluchei mitzvah. Shluchei mitzvah are pater from sukkah, osik ba mitzvah pater mena mitzvah. So we're totally exempt from sukkah altogether, so that's not a problem.
So the Gemara is saying that you could have a larger gap than 4 tefachim, right?
The Gemara is saying they paskined you're not allowed to have that. Well, but why do they sleep in it then?
Right, no, they paskined like that.
They got out of it.
The Gemara was saying previously that you could.
Right? It's machlokas. Okay. So Rav Nachman, who was in charge of the Rish Galusa's house, so he's the one that stuck him in that sukkah for whatever reason. The Ritva discusses the reason why it would give him the right to do that and all kinds of things. But was he tricking them? You know, like, what was he trying to do? So he wasn't tricking them because it was obvious.
Wait, so did he pass
him? Yeah, he passed him, it's fine. Rav Nachman passed him, it was fine.
Right, so he said it's okay.
But they disagreed, right? So how could you do that to somebody? Somebody that you know, you know, the famous Gemara Yevamos, it says that the Mishnah says that Beisol and Beishamai, they disagreed a lot, right? Beisol and Beishamai. But they still were willing to intermarry with each other. Why? Not because they were willing to accept the other person's position, but because if there was a girl that had lineage that according to the other position was not marriageable to them, they told them, even though they didn't agree. So they would say to them, according to your opinion, you should just know that this is problematic. According to you, I think you're out of your mind. You know? But they didn't say that because they were nice. But they respected the other position enough to tell it. First of all, to be aware of it. That's also interesting, right? Because if you disagree with somebody, you're not even going to think like that. But they were, number one, they were aware of the position. And number two, they let them know so that they wouldn't be doing anything wrong according to them. So that, you know, that's like the opposite almost of this Gemara in a certain way, but okay. So then after that, the Gemara gets involved with this idea of tents, and that's the third case of the Mishnah. What about sleeping under something that divides between you and the schach when it's not decorative? So then the Gemara says, well, if it's less than 10 tvachim, most of the time it's okay. The only exception to that apparently is not a table. Table apparently is not, or a bed. But if it's like a canopy bed that's built with this, some kind of built-in canopy where it's called kaviyah, it's actually fixed like that, then even less than 10 tefachim would be a problem. But if it's a type of bed that you actually have to spread something on because it's not built in that way, so then it's only a problem if it's 10 tefachim or more.
But if it's less than 10 tefachim, that's not a problem. That's just considered like some like a blanket that a person is just basically wearing. And once the Gemara says, wow, that's basically like you're wearing it, then the Gemara applies that to the very interesting halacha of lo yirvacha erva's davar, that you're not allowed to see your erva. And then I added to all of that, what Tosfos mentions, is that Shmuel didn't care about the issue of libo roa esa erva, because he paskin like the Tanakama, kit Tanakama, that's the acronym over here, kit Tanakama in those two Gemaras, who holds that libo roes erva is not an issue. Why would it be an issue? So Mishnah Berurah says very, very interestingly, because when I see what he's saying. You see that? I see that. Because seeing also is that idea of understanding, and understanding is something that's always referred to metaphorically as having to do with the heart. The heart understands. You understand in your heart. And therefore, there's also a concept of your heart seeing the erva that's problematic. And we pass in that way. So we pass him that you're not allowed to have your heart see your erva either. That's where the concept of a gartel comes. Halacha comes from. Halacha lamaisa, underpants cover the bases, that once there's an elastic band or something that's tight enough that's pressed up against your body, so that's good enough to be dividing between a person's heart and his erva altogether. So most of the time this isn't an issue, unless a person feels like going commando that day. So then you have to worry about libo roesa erva, and those issues would come up. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. At the end of the day, for us, halacha lamaisa, if you want to discuss the kila case, you're going to have to add one component, and that is that you have to make sure libo is not roa esa erva. And I gave you that very clever case of a person that's wearing something that's extremely baggy around him, and he has to make sure two things are happening. Number one, his head is sticking out, so he cannot see his erva. Number two, he has to have some sort of division between his heart and his erva. The division is enough to be considered not seeing. The division is enough, like a gartel, a belt. And then finally, as long as the space is less than 10 tefachim, that's not considered to be a tent. It's considered like he's just wearing a piece of clothing. And that gets us out of all of our problems of erba visible, libo roesa erva, and a person himself seeing an erba lo yirvacha, erva is davar, and all of us should be zoiche to a machane kadosh. Everyone should have a beautiful Shabbos. Those of you who are coming to me for Shabbos, we're going to be in touch about the details, how we're getting there. I think it's going to be Uber. So I think we're going to divide up into Ubers. That way I don't have to schlep back and forth from Pomona.